Rabbi Sami speaking here today. He's also the Rosh Kol at the Wadi Kol Ayula. And he does a big service for the community. On Tuesday nights, he gives Shir Arab Israelis. That's a new night Seder program. On Wednesday nights, he gives Halakha Shir at Yula at 8:30 p.m. And on Friday, he gives a Sfas Emeshir after the 7:45 Shachar at Ada. So if you enjoyed today's Shir, please, hopefully we'll see you again in the near future. Without further ado, Rabbi Sami.
How do I turn this off?
Want to get up or?
Off. Okay, thank you. And if you enjoyed that introduction, you could literally find Chaim at our kol any day of the week. If you want to learn more from him, just come by. You'll find him learning and you could hear more Divrei Torah, more ideas from him as well. So thank you so much for having me again. I was here a few months ago and the people that I asked if they remember said no. So maybe that's why I got invited back. I mean, if you remembered, I wouldn't be invited back. But okay, b'siyat d'shmaya, this time it'll hopefully go better, or it'll keep going poorly and it'll keep forgetting about me. And inviting me back is also good, either way. The sugya I wanted to discuss today, b'siyat d'shmaya, is actually not the sugya that I wanted to discuss today. I had a different story in mind, but it was the requested topic. A couple of people request that we talk about the sugya of lo b'shamayim hi. How many things do you think I have over here? Of lo b'shamayim hi, which is a sugya which is seemingly meaningless just based on the words, that it's not in the sky, but it's a sugya that some of you are probably familiar with from before, and my understanding is that there's some preparation time. So some people have been learning the Maor Makomos sheets until I got here, so it's probably the questions at least, maybe not all the answers, but the questions you've at least explored over the course of last hour or so. So it's a topic which will take us the entirety of the time. I was told I have only until 1 o'clock, so we'll nail it. Don't worry, and we'll take the balance of the time we'll do on the sugya. But as we do the sugya, just start to realize that we're really touching the surface. This is a shas topic, meaning we're going to learn yesodos, foundational principles in one sugya that really touch many other gemaras, many other halachos sugyas that we're not necessarily going to talk about today that are either tangentially or directly related. But we can't cover everything. It's impossible to cover everything, so we'll give it a start. We'll talk about what we call the Rashi Prakim. So if you learned in source number one, you saw that the Rambam has the eighth and ninth principle of faith. Now, just to be clear, the Rambam didn't start counting at 8 and 9. There are 13 principles of faith. The Rambam has Yud Gimel, Ikare Emuna, 13 principles of faith by which a person must live, that a person must believe in order to be considered Jewish. This is an important point. If a person does not have the proper Emunos, some things are they're not negotiable, but we write you off as being making a mistake on something. But certain core beliefs, if a person doesn't hold true to them, if a person doesn't believe in them, the Rambam writes very explicitly, and it seems to be a mission at the end of Maseches Sanhedrin as well, that a person who does not believe in one of these 13 principles of faith is considered a kofer. They're a denier. They don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, and therefore they are no longer Jewish. They don't have the status of a Jew. Now, that doesn't mean they can be your Shabbos guy. What it means is that you don't have the mitzvah of Yahshalecha Kamocha, maybe the dinim of Ribbis don't apply. Certain dinim go out the window when a person is mafkir, gets rid of his status, he does away with his status as a Jewish person. So these principles of faith, we only put two of them on the sheet, but this is something we're supposed to know about, understand, and internalize. In fact, there's a minhag, I don't know if you're in your sitter, you have the Yugim Ikrim, Yigdal. You have Yigdal every day? I don't know. The Arizal didn't like that. I don't know how that translates into Svardim. You say it after people. Okay, so exactly, that's the point. Meaning we're something we're supposed to dwell on. Well, at least you say it. At least you say it. That's clear. So it's something you're supposed to dwell on, something you're supposed to internalize literally every single day. So the eighth ikr, the eighth principle of faith the Rambam here says for us, is the Torah's divinity. The divinity, the Kedusha of Torah, min hashamayim. Torah exists. It's of divine nature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us, gave it to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Klal Yisrael, by Har Sinai. After that, the ninth principle, the Rambam says like this, we'll read it inside the second line in the first source. V'hu, shezo tiras Moshe lo tevatel. This Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu will not be nullified. It will not go away. It is eternal. It is everlasting. V'lo savo Torah me'es Hashem zulasa. There will be no other substitute Torah that will be given at any point in the future. V'lo yitosaf ba. There will be no additions. V'lo yigara mimena. There will be no detractions. There will be nothing taken away. Lo b'kasev v'lo b'feirish. There will be nothing in tradition. There will be nothing in the ksav, nothing written that will either change to the positive or change to the negative, add or detract Lo Tosif and Lo Tigra, right, in the Psukim. Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra, nothing will ever occur to change our Torah. Our Torah is Nitzchus, it's eternal, and it can never be changed. Now, in the context of these Ikarim, of these principles of faith, that's where the Rambam ends. But the Rambam is a personality who, in order to understand what he means in one place, you have to learn what he wrote in every other place as well. The Rambam was such a prolific author, but he wasn't writing books that were unrelated, separate from each other. He was writing books that all together really make up the totality of his thought. So the Mor Nevuchim is a complement to the Arach HaZaka. Even though it's a work of philosophy, and it's telling you time and mitzvos, and it's telling you about the creation of the world and about the philosophy of Torah, but even so, it's also a commentary on, it's also a complement to, it goes hand in hand with the Mishnah Torah, with the Arach HaZaka, the halachas of the Rambam. And if you want to understand the halachas of the Rambam, sometimes you have to turn to the Perush HaMishnayos, the commentary on the Mishnah that the Rambam wrote. And only when you put all of these things together do you get the beautiful tapestry of the thought of Maimonides, of the Rambam, throughout his lifetime, throughout his work of thought, Jewish halacha. And here is no exception. In source number 2, you have not the continuation of the Ikarim of Emunah, but you have the Hakdama, the introduction to Perush HaMishnayos. In the introduction to Perush HaMishnayos, the Rambam adds a critical detail to this yesod, to this principle of Nitzchiyos HaTorah, of the eternality, the eternal nature of Torah. He notes that this rule applies not only to you and me, not only to us, that we can't add and we can't detract and we can't say the Torah changed chas v'shalom in any generation, but it applies also even to a Navi. We saw this inside? It applies even to a Navi, meaning a Navi, a prophet who has direct access, who hears from HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's sleeping at night, who has a vision and understands what's going to happen in the future, even such a holy individual can't hear something and based on that nevuah, based on that prophecy, change, adjust, switch, add, detract from the Torah. It's impossible. That can never happen. What happens to a Navi who tries to do that? He gets killed. Yeah, that exactly, that hand motion. He gets chenek. He gets killed. He's destroyed. He's taken out of this world because he's what we call a Navi Sheker. He's killed as a Navi Sheker. Now, the Rambam here says, you have it in the underlines in source number 2, the Rambam says that's what our Pasuk that we titled the Shir, our Pasuk of Lo Bashamayim He, that's actually what the Pasuk refers to. You'll recall, if you learned the Shnayim Mikra a few months ago, many months ago, or a few months in the future, in Parshas Nitzavim, there is a Machlokas Rishonim, a dispute amongst the commentators, what these Pesukim are referring to. Lo Bashamayim He, right? Ki Karav Elecha Adav Ma'od, that something is very close to you. This mitzvah is very close to you. What mitzvah is that referring to? We read it right before Rosh Hashanah, so it's easy to say. Tshuva, the mitzvah of tshuva, that's what some of the Rishonim say. I think Rashi has a day like that. The Ramban brings, and the Rambam clearly is citing, not like Rashi, I'm sorry, the opposite. Rashi says the opposite. Ramban has a day that it's about tshuva. Rashi says that it's about Talmud Torah, that it's about learning. And the mitzvah of learning is, let's say for now, karov elecha, it's very close to you. Lo bashamayim hi. If it was Bashamayim, Rash says you'd have to go get it, but it's Lo Bashamayim, it's not in the heavens. So the Rambam is clearly learning the Pasuk to be about Talmud Torah as well. That's an important point. The Rambam understands that the Pasuk is saying Lo Bashamayim He, what's not in Shamayim? What's not up in the heavens? The Torah. The Torah is not up in the heavens. Fine. What does that mean? Says the Rambam like this. Lo Bashamayim He, it's not in the heavens. Rather, Kikaro Velecha Hadavar Ma'od Beficha Uvel Vavcha. You see the underlines. Ba'amru Beficha Uvel Vavcha. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart or in your mind. Ritzon Alomar Hamikros Hasiduros Bepeh. O Hadinim Hanilmadim Bederecha Iyun Shehu Mechlal Hakochos Hanemshachim Min Halev. Says the Rambam like this. The Torah belongs in your heart, it belongs in your mind, and it belongs in your mouth. It's a Torah that we learn, it's a Torah that we speak. It's a Torah that we share with each other, that we internalize, and that we learn very deeply with our intellect, with our brain. But it's Lo Bashamayim He. It's not in the heavens. Even if a Navi would come along and say, the heavens told me the din is like this, the halacha is like this. The heavens told me that we should change, add, subtract Chas V'Shalom from the Torah. Absolutely not. He's killed. He's a Navi Sheker. Because Lo Bashamayim He. The Torah doesn't belong in heaven. The Torah was given to us down here to utilize, to explore, to create, to add on in the sense of within the realm of adding derabbanan, things like that, to add on the beauty of Torah, but not chas v'shalom, to add mitzvos. That's in our hands, beficha uvelvavcha, not bashamayim, not anywhere outside of a person's brain, outside of a person's heart, outside of a person's mouth. That's what the Rambam tells us that pasuk is referring to. Where is the Rambam coming from? He didn't just make this up. So the Rambam is coming from two important Gemaras. There are more Gemaras, but two important Gemaras for now. The Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Megillah, I do not believe you have it on your sheet in front of you, on Daf Gimel Amun Aleph. The Gemara there says that the based on a pasuk of Eila HaMitzvos, these are the mitzvos. These are the mitzvos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands you in. So the Gemara understands Eila HaMitzvos ve'ein Navi Rashai Lavo L'Chadesh Davar Me'ata. That from now on in history, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, Hashem says no longer can a Navi, ein Navi Rashai, no longer can a prophet come along and say, I want to add a mitzvah, I want to subtract the mitzvah. A Navi cannot come and change the Torah. There is nitzchius ha-Torah. There's an eternal nature to the Torah. It's everlasting as it is. It's solid in history and it's frozen as it is for the rest of time. That's what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah and Daf Gimel and Aleph, that a Navi cannot come along and be mechadish anything in the Torah. There's another Gemara as well, which we're going to get to. You had on the source sheet in source number 3. The Gemara Bava Metzia on Daf Nun, it says, yeah, Daf Nun Testament Aleph to Nun Testament Beis, very good. So there the Gemara has a fascinating story. You saw the story inside? So the story goes like this. So there was a discussion, there was a dispute about the Tanur Shel Achnai, the ritual impurity, the status of ritual impurity that should exist by a certain type of, I forget the word in English, collapsible or, you know, retractable type of an oven that isn't fully formed as a sturdy kli, but it's a little bit more, not flimsy, but it's by design flimsy in the sense that it's undoable and redoable. So such an oven, the details don't matter for us right now. I don't think anyone's ever said a shir on the actual part of the Tanur Shel Achnai. That would be a good idea if someone wants to do one Wednesday. Everyone always just says, it's some sort of oven. Now let's talk about the Sugya of Lo Hashemayim. Someone should actually give a shir on the Tanur Shel Achnai one time, then we'll actually know what we're talking about. So the Gemara's discussion about this, and in that context, Rabbi Lezer has one opinion, and the Chacham have another opinion. Did you guys spend your whole morning on the oven? Okay, that would be pretty cool if you did. The Gemara has a whole discussion, Rabbi Chacham and Rabbi Lezer, about what the halach is by such an oven. In that context, Rabbi Lezer says one way against the majority opinion. When you have a majority against a minority, if I said one way and all of you said a different way, who would you paskin like? No, I definitely win out of you guys. But in general, if we have a majority against a minority, we go like the majority. Very good, right? Correct? Rove versus Yachid, we always follow the Rove, right? We always go Basar, the Rabbim, against the minority opinion. So here, too, Rabbi Lezer was the minority opinion. You would expect him to just bow out. I mean, it's not his day. He didn't win today. The Chachamim are against him, so the Rove should win. But Rabbi Lezer was very committed to his opinion. He was very stuck in his opinion. And so he says, I'm going to prove that I'm correct. How does he want to prove that he's correct? By a bunch of miracles. The trees are going to jump out of their place a couple of hundred yards, and eventually the walls are going to collapse. But before that, the stream, exactly, the water's going to flow upstream in the wrong direction. The walls are going to collapse. All of these miracles happen one after the other until at the very end, he says, if I am correct, Shamayim are going to be mochiach. How does he say it? He says, Chazav Amar Lahem, in the source number 3, right before the bold, Im halacha kamosi min ha-shamayim yolchichu. The heavens will prove that I'm correct. And sure enough, what happens? Yatzis a baskol va'amra. A baskol comes out. A baskol means a voice or the echo of a voice. Tosas have deos about this. But there's some sort of sound comes out of Shemayim directly from the heavens. An unbelievable thing. And spits out this word, like on a microphone to the whole world, that really Rabbi Lezer is correct. Malach ametz Rabbi Lezer, shehalacha kamosa b'chol makom. The halacha always follows Rabbi Lezer. You got to follow him in this case. And Amar Rabbi Yoshua b'ragla v'amar. What does he say? Lo bashamayim hi. Send that baskol back to the store. We don't need it. We don't need a baskol. We have a halacha in our world of yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. If I have a majority fighting against a minority, we're going to paskin like the majority 100% of the time. If a baskol wants to say differently, he could say, he could shry, he could scream, whatever wants to scream all day long, but we're not going to change our halacha based on a baskol. Why lo bashamayim hi? The halacha, the Torah, does not go in accordance with what it says in the heavens. The Torah was given to us down here on earth to paskin the shailas. The same way we began with, that a Navi can't be mechadish davar, that a Navi can't change the Torah, that the halachic system is such that it's formulated and molded only to our existence in this physical world with our intellect, with our pichol vavcha, the mouth and the heart of the Jewish brain and the Jewish mind. That is the determinant factor in halacha, not the shamayim lo bashamayim hi. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu... I'm sorry? So he didn't change the Torah, meaning there was a dispute about what the halacha should be, and he was choosing one side. Yes. That's absolutely correct. But I have a question. The halachic system has a rule put in place for this situation. It's me versus an entire room. Who do we paskin like? We paskin like the Rabbim. We definitely paskin like the Rabbim, correct? So that's the halacha. So Rav Elazar was going against the halacha in that way. We're not accusing him of heresy. That's not the point over here. We're not accusing him of doing the wrong thing. He's entitled to his opinion. And in fact, the Gemara discusses elsewhere. The Gemara in Perek Rav Elazar Mila in Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara discusses the fact that in certain situations when you had a Yachid V'Rabim, even though we as a community, as I should say, as a world Jewry, paskin like the majority, if you lived in the community of the minority and he was your Shul Rav, you would follow him. So you're right, he's not doing anything against the Torah, that's not the point. But the point is that the Shemayim doesn't determine what the Halach is going to be for the rest of the Jewish people. You want to say something?
Well, how could that be though? Because it's kind of, every time I come across this, if it's right, if it's correct, Halacha.
Such a good question, I feel like someone should say a shir on this.
Yeah.
Alright, you know what, let's do it right now. I totally agree. So what's the pshat? Let's go with your question. Let's start with your question. What is the pshat? That's what you're asking. What is the pshat? The Shemayim, the heavens come out and scream. Rebbe Lezer is correct. You think the Baskel is wrong? No. The Baskel is correct. So what's going on over here? What's the answer? So look at... Meaning it's a... Lior is saying it's against the original decision of the Jewish halacha system. It's still against the Jewish halacha system, but what's your name?
Meir.
Is it one of those situations? Yeah. I appreciate you not trying first. Sometimes people try and I have to ask. Yeah. So Bob, he's saying, yeah, it's true that there's a halachic system. I hear that, but I know what's right and what's wrong. The halacha should follow what's right, what's correct, what's MS, what's true. What's true? The Baskol is true. So why don't we follow that? So that's the question that we're going to operate with now for sure. So if you look in source number 4, the Ran was one of the Rishonim, so you find them on every Masechta, you find them in the back on the Rif. He also has his own Chidushim on a lot of Masechtas. But he also has these Drashos HaRan, which are more philosophical in nature. So in source number 4, you have an example from the Drush HaShlishi, the third Drash that the Ran discusses, that he explains like this. It's simple. It's a simple Gzeres HaKasav. There's not much to say over here, at least at this point. He says, the Torah says, Acharei Rabim Lahatos. What does that mean? What does Acharei Rabim Lahatos mean? We follow the majority. It means different things in different places. Sometimes it means Bittel Barov. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik talks about this in his Shirim. Sometimes it means Bittel Barov. Sometimes it means the halacha accords with the majority opinion, meaning we follow the majority. So sometimes it means the majority envelops, subsumes the minority. You have 100 pieces of kasher chicken, one piece of treif chicken, so it gets enveloped in the kasher chicken. Sometimes it means we go with the majority opinion, like in our case that we're discussing, yachid v'rabim, halachik v'rabim. So we have a pasuk of Acharei Rabim Lahatos. Says the Ran, Acharei Rabim Lahatos teaches us that we have a Gzeres HaKasav. The Torah says that we follow the majority. So that's really what you said, Lior, in the back. Meaning we have a pasuk that says follow the majority. The Baskel is trying to change that. It's not his job to change the Torah. The Torah already tells us how to pasuk in this case, and we can't go any other way. And the Ran goes on to discuss how this also accounts for another really fascinating Gemara that's not on your sheet, but we'll touch on it just briefly for a moment. The Gemara also in Bava Metzia on Daf Peivav. I might have, now that I think about it, when I walked in, I might have heard one of the Rebbeim actually discussing this Gemara. They probably knew it by themselves. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia on Peivav has a machlokas, it records a machlokas as a wild thing, between the Mesifta Derekia and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That there was an upper Mesifta, an upper yeshiva of all the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, and they were having it out with the Ribono Shel Olam himself, with Hashem himself, about the halacha in a certain case. If a hair was makdim the white nega in Saras, a case of Saras, they were arguing whether it was Tameh or Tahor. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu paskin Tahor, and the whole Shamayim, or the whole Mesifta Derakia, this other yeshiva of greatest gedolim of all history, they said Tameh. So they didn't know how to paskin the Shaila. So they sent it down to earth. They sent the Piska down to earth. They sent a little bit of a note down to Rabba Bar Nachmeni, and they held that he was the gadol. And I think the story goes that he died saying Tahor in Yatsa Nishmaso Bitar, or whatever. So how do we paskin? So it's a fascinating thing. First of all, you have a machlokas between the yeshiva and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's his Torah, capital H, and they're arguing with him. Second of all, this is unbelievable. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Taras, he paskins against Hashem. He paskins against Hashem. The Mefarshim are like blown away. It's an unbelievable thing. So what's the pshat in all of this? So the Ran says the pshat is that the Torah doesn't belong in Shemayim. It's again, it's not answering your question yet. It's just pointing out your question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say one way, but if the majority of halachic minds in our world say differently, that determines the halacha, because lo bashamayim hi, it doesn't belong in the heavens. It started in the heavens, and it was nizgalim, and it was embodied in such a way that it can come down to our world, otherwise the Torah couldn't fit in our world. It's not possible. The Sfas Emes points out, Ala Torah, that the Torah in Tehillim is referred to as a shevi, as an imprisoned person. What do you mean the Torah is an imprisoned person? Because the Torah belongs in Shamayim. The Torah is otherworldly. It's divine, it's eternal, it's endless, it's vast. It doesn't fit into our world. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, as it were, chained up the Torah and stuck it into our world as a prisoner. It's an unbelievable thing. The Sfas Emes says that's why it's called a shevi. It's a Torah shvi. It's a imprisoned thing in our world. So it starts in the heavens, but it comes down to our world and it stays there. Lo bashamayim hi. There's no way that the heavens could change anything. Now, the Ran continues in a different drasha, if you look in source number 5, and says the most incredible idea here. This is such an inspiring idea, and it really starts to answer the question that we had from Meir in the beginning. This is unbelievable. Listen to this. The Ran says, after all of that settles, what is the pshat? Why is it that Nevuah doesn't beat a rabbi? Okay, the rabbi learned got smicha, and he passed his tests, and he knows the sugya very well. But a Navi says, by the way, I went to sleep last night, and the Ribono Shalom told me that you're wrong. So why do we pass like the rabbi with all of his smicha? Why does he win? Why is it lo bashamayim? The Ran says like this, Givaldik. He says that Nevuah is inconsistent. What do I mean? There's only one Navi who was able to be misnabe, able to prophesy on demand. Who was that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Pel adabrabo, b'chol eis, anytime and any place. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to get a Nevuah. He can actually be the one who calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asks for the Nevuah, correct? Every other Navi, they sometimes get Nevuah, they sometimes don't. They went to the mikveh that day, they didn't go to the mikveh that day, they had a hard day at work, they're not able to focus on the Nevuah, they don't fall asleep soon enough that night, so there's not enough time for the Nevuah. There's a million reasons and a million factors. A Navi can actually prepare all they want. If you learn the Rambam in Hilchos Yesod, the Torah, you see this. A Navi has to prepare, he has to do hachanos, to get himself into a state of being able to be a Navi and get Nevuah and get prophecy that night, but he could do all of his hachanos and it just doesn't come through that night. It's inconsistent. There's not always full service. Not only that, but Nevuah is inconsistent on this grand scale of the timeline of history, correct? Do we have Nevuah nowadays? We do not. The Gemara tells us that. The Gemara says that Nevuah, it's a little bit of a steer in Gemara as the Rishonim talk about it. I'm sorry? It was taken away. The question is when. When was Nevuah taken away? The end of Bayis Sheni, a little before that, that's a little bit of a question. The Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Yud Beis, the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Yud Aleph or so. I'm sorry? What about him? I don't know, he might have had Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah are probably two separate things. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim has a list of more than 8 levels of divine assistance that a person can get from Hashem that goes between Ruach HaKodesh at the lowest and Mamish Nevuah, Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu being the highest, of course. So a person could be very holy and have a level of divine assistance, Siyat Deshmaya, a Sod Hashem Lirev, as it were, and it could be Ruach HaKodesh, but it wouldn't necessarily be Nevuah. Nevuah is Batela. I'm sorry? That's not Nevuah. Gilei Eliyahu is... Correct. Gilei Eliyahu is a different thing. I mean, you know, the Beis Yosef, Maran Beit Yosef. So he had the Magid who spoke through his throat. We believe that is true. We believe it happened. That's not Nevuah. It's a strange thing. It's a divine thing. But it's not a level of Nevuah that we're talking about. So Nevuah doesn't exist for all time, says the Ran. So what does the Ran say? There's a problem. If you rely on a Navi, if a Navi is the greatest tzaddik and the greatest Talmud Chacham, and he's the one who's going to pass in all our shailas, you know what's going to happen? One day you're going to go and say, Navi, excuse me, is this chicken kosher? Navi, excuse me, can I do this deal or is it considered ribbis? Is this considered interest? And he's going to say, one second, let me ask Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know what? The line is busy. I can't get through. Or you'll be living in a time in history when there is no Nevuah and you don't have a Navi to go to. Who would you ask your shailas to? If we started to rely on Nevuah, says the Ran, what would happen to the Torah, Chas V'Shalom? It wouldn't be Nitzchius. It wouldn't be eternal. It wouldn't have a way of lasting for all generations. And because of that, the Ran says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu developed a system where, yes, the Baskol was correct. The majority was wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's Tameh and Torah. Trust me, he knows. We were wrong. But that's not the halachic system Hashem wants. Because on the whole, we're going to have an everlasting, nitzchi, eternal Torah because we rely on our Chachmei HaMasorah throughout the generations. That doesn't entitle you and me to make decisions. But someone who's properly received the tradition all the way from our Sinai and developed the Torah personality to the extent that they can understand the sugya in its depth and its entirety, that Torah lasts forever. A Navi's Torah comes and goes within one generation. Within two generations, it might only go. It might not even be there in that generation. Nevuah wasn't a system by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu could guarantee Nitzchias HaTorah. And so it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Bashamayim Hi. Now reread the Gemara for a second. This is a halfway of a fellow. This is a Peladik of Pshat by the Maritz Chayis. The Maritz Chayis in the commentary in the back of the Gemara in Bava Metzia, he notes at the very end of the Gemara, so it says, remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy that the Jewish people decided against him, correct? Against his baskel. What were the words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used? Nitzchuni vanai nitzchuni. So we generally interpret that as nitzchuni means dida natzach. It means we won, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, nitzchuni vanai. My children, you've defeated me. I said one way, and you paskin the halacha the proper way, because even though it might have been incorrect, it was the right thing for the halachic system at the time. Nitzchuni vanai, you guys win. The Maritz Chiyah says no. The word nitzchuni can mean to win, but it also comes from the shorish of netzach. What does netzach mean? Eternal, forever. Nitzchuni vanai nitzchuni. You, the Rabbanim, have made my Torah eternal. You've made my Torah everlasting. Because by not listening to the Baskel, by ignoring the Shemayim, by saying, no, lo b'shamayim hi, we listen to our Chachamim, our Chachmei HaMasora, the Rabbanim in our generation, who know and learned the sugya, and they're going to be here tomorrow, and the next day, and when they're gone, their students will be here. We're going to have Talmid Chachamim in every generation for the rest of history. When you listen to them and ignore, and you say, lo b'shamayim hi, nitzchuni vanai, nitzchuni, you've made my Torah eternal. As the Ran says, that's the promise for the Nitzchias HaTorah, that we have Chachamim in every generation to decide what the halacha is. Right there on the back of the page, in the back of the Gemara, on the page in Bava Metzia Nuntes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to. I'll rephrase your question. The answer to your question is, we're not going against Hashem. Hashem said to follow the majority. The question I think you want to ask is, why would Hashem give his opinion if you're not supposed to follow him? And the answer to that may be, very simply,
so then we're keeping the Torah for ourselves or for him?
For him. He's the one who told us to do it.
Yeah, we're doing it our way, so.
But again, just to be clear, Hashem said, do it this way. Against what the Baskel says. That's what Hashem said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to not listen to a Baskel.
Yeah, but Rabbi, you can't say Tamei HaKadosh.
Why not? Why not?
You can't say that. Hashem says Tahor.
Hashem says, I'm saying Tahor, but the majority is saying Tamei. You should follow the majority.
You say that you're not allowed to say Tamei. Like if something's not Tamei, then it becomes Tamei. If Hashem says Tahor, then
it's Tahor. No, I don't know if that. I don't know. No, I don't know what you're referring to. That's true on the level of halachic shayla, but that's operating outside of halacha. That's in shamayim. It doesn't have an impact on halacha. That's what we're learning here, is lo b'shamayim. That doesn't have an impact, no. Okay, the ratzon Hashem is to not follow his opinion here. That's exactly what we're saying. That's exactly what we're saying. Hold on. Okay, good. So the question I think that's a more sensible question is, why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu contribute an opinion that he wants you to ignore? Why would he send a baskel? Why would he say differently than the halacha? Yeah, or something similar, a test, a nisayon. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu send false Nevi'im at all? The Torah tells us, l'nasos eschem, to test you. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set a system in place that even if a baskel comes, you should listen to halacha. Then once in a generation, Hashem sends a baskel that says the opposite of the halacha, and it's on us to not be swayed by your emotionally correct argument that how can we not listen to Hashem? That's a correct emotion, you're right. How can we not listen to Hashem? The answer is because Hashem already told us what to do here. Not to listen to that Paschal. So he puts it there to test us, and that's a possible answer to that question. Okay, as we consider that Gemara in Bava Metzia, we have to make a little headway here. As we consider that Gemara in Bava Metzia, as we continue in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, and we consider it, so we're confronted by a seeming contradiction from another Maimer Chazal. If you look in source number 6, so Tosas and Maseches Bava Metzia here, they point out that Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Yudalid tells us that we hold the halacha is kibes hillel. Why do we hold halachas like beis hillel? Because a baskol came out from Shemayim and said, follow beis hillel. Uh-oh. That's not a good sign. So So that's a problem. So Tosfos asked this question. Tosfos say, what's going on over here? The Baskel says to follow Beis Hillel, and we listen to him. I thought the Gemara says, Lo Bashamayim, we don't listen to a Baskel. What are you talking about? We do or we don't? So Tosfos give two answers. You saw these answers probably. First, the Tosfos explain that no, the Gemara in Bava Metzia meant that we don't follow Baskel only in the following situation. If the Baskel contradicts the Torah, then we don't listen to the Baskel. The Torah says follow the majority, the Baskel says follow the minority, we don't listen to the Baskel. But if the Baskel corroborates, or it doesn't take a stand, it just offers an opinion that has nothing to do with opposing any other opinion, then you can listen to a Baskel, came from Shemayim, you can go ahead and listen to it. That's the first answer that Tosfos suggests. Additionally, Tosfos suggests, separately, that maybe the Baskel in Bava Metzia was a weaker type of Baskel. Why was it a weaker type of Baskel? Because what was that story, if you remember? Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim were arguing back and forth, and Rebbe Lezer says, Hashem, come to my side, come to my aid, scream out from Shemayim what the halacha is like me. And the Baskel comes out and says, halacha is like Rebbe Lezer b'chol makom. Says Tosfos, maybe the Baskel was just being nice to Rebbe Lezer. The halacha was really Chachamim. But you have this Talmud Chacham sitting on his knees, mamish begging Hashem, please send a sign that I'm right. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. So Hashem sent the Baskel to say, yeah, Rebbe Lezer, you're right, yeah, you're good. But says Tosfos, that's only mishum kvodo. That was only to give a little bit of respect, some honorifics to Rebbe Lezer. But be'emes, in truth, the Baskel didn't side with Rebbe Lezer. So say Tosfos, really, we could listen to a Baskel if we knew it was a real Baskel. And do you know what situation we knew we had a real Baskel? When Shemayin came down and screamed, halacha kebeis Hillel. In such a case, we do follow Baskel. When it came just a little, it was a quiet Baskel, just to save Rebbe Lezer's covet, then we're not going to listen. But if it's mamish a Baskel, a stark a Baskel that's teaching us the halacha, we would follow it, say Tosfos. Now, good question. I don't think that you would judge me if I wasn't equipped to answer that question. I've never heard either type of Baskel. I've never heard either type of Baskel. If you were one of the Chachmei HaMasora, if you were one of the people living in the times of the Gemara and Amora Tana, you would probably have the tools to discern which was the real type and which was the fake type. The Bali Atosis. I don't know if anyone wrote a halacha sefer on this yet. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know how to decide. I don't have to know how to decide to know that that's what Tosis are saying is the rule. If you're able to determine this is a real Baskel, you would listen. If you're not able to determine it's a real Baskel, you wouldn't listen. What the rules are, I would say it's a shir for another time, but I'm not sure we'd find the sources to build a shir on that. But okay, yeah, if you lived in the times, you'd have to figure out how to figure out the difference between the two of them, be discerning. Meaning, why isn't the Baskel a problem of Lo Bashamayim? Right, so apparently Tosfos in this opinion, the first opinion, they agree with you. In the second opinion, they must assume, it's a good question, they must assume that Lo Bashamayim means only when the Shamayim is contradicting the Aretz. But if the two can work in tandem, there's no contradiction, so then it's Bashamayim and Baretz, it's no problem. It's not. It's Lo Bashamayim as opposed to Beficha Uvavcha. But if Beficha Uvavcha agrees with Shamayim, so why not? Let the Baskel say the same thing. Who cares?
But isn't there a difference requesting a Baskel and a Baskel just coming by itself? Didn't Rabbi...
That's what Tosfos say. Yeah, that's the second opinion of Tosfos. Correct.
I mean, if God was worried about Rabbi Eliezer's honor, why would he then... decide to put him in excommunication.
That's he didn't. Point. The Chacham put him in excommunication.
But I'm saying, that's why
he
let that happen.
Does it
make sense?
Wasn't Rabbi
Eliezer from Yep. That's a discussion. The Bali Tosfos have deos about this in different places. Rabbi Eliezer referred to as a shmuti. What does it mean that he's a shmuti? So it sounds like the word Shammai. So Tosfos Rashi and Tosfos Maseches Nida, Tosfos all over Shas. Yerushalmi. Maybe it means he was one of the base Shammai. Maybe. It also might mean shmuti, milashon of being in cherem, as was just referenced. So shmuti doesn't necessarily mean that. It might mean either one. Okay. Either way, so the real work that we would have laid out for us now, but we're going to skip it just because we want to get to the end over here. Yeah. So the real work we have cut out for us is try to figure out the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't fit into either of these opinions in Tosfos. You'd have to spend a long time trying to figure out the Rambam. But in order to streamline and get to the end of the Shir, so let's talk about some other cases that come up in Rishonim, in the Achronim, and the like. So if you look, the truth is we have it in our Parsha. Maybe. I'll leave this as food for thought. I won't necessarily answer it. But in our Parsha, we have the story of the Mekoshesh Eitzim, correct? The Mekoshesh Eitzim, you know, does a malach on Shabbos. He violates Shabbos. And then Moshe Rabbeinu knows that if you violate Shabbos, you should be killed. But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know. This is a question how to read this. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Ches with a Tosfos on the page over there, and a Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Kuf Yud Beis, also a Tosfos. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not sure which misa, which type of a death penalty they should get. Should it be chenek or should it be skila? For various reasons. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Anyone remember? He asks Hashem. He asks Hashem, what punishment should I give the Mekoshe Jetzim? Lo b'shamayim he. What do you mean, ask Hashem? Moshe Rabbeinu, you have svaras, you have logic on both sides, so you decide the halacha. Why in that case was he allowed to ask?
Before.
Excellent, very good. So that's an excellent point. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has a short essay about this in his Sefer Beis HaOtzer, and one of the things he suggests is exactly what you just suggested, Sharon, which is that maybe the time and history at which the Torah was kavua, was set, was once Moshe Rabbeinu was gone. 40 years in the desert was all along Nisinas HaTorah. You do find certain mitzvos seem to be given after Har Sinai, at least ostensibly. There's what to talk about there. But it seems to be given later. Moshe Rabbeinu was still giving over the entirety of Torah. So it wasn't Lo Bashamayim for Moshe Rabbeinu to confirm what the death penalty was for this particular person. Excellent. He suggests that there may be other answers as well. It's not only majority versus minority. It's any case of halacha. Meaning, maybe you would answer that it wasn't going against anything else.
Right.
But the problem is that, according to Tosfos, it was. Because when the pasuk says, Mechal Aleha Mos Yumas, in the Torah, whenever the Torah says Mos Yumas, Stam Misa, the Gemara assumes, is Chenek. So when the Torah said, Mechal Aleha Mos Yumas, that someone who violates Shabbos is killed, it means killed with Chenek. So to say it's Skila, which we do say, Halacha L'maisa, you'd have to say against what the simple understanding of the Torah was. So it does really involve Ma'ar Mechamos. That's how Tosfos interpret the Gemara. You could offer a different interpretation, but we'd have to write it down and staple to all the Gemaras. No, I understand. No, it's not only against majority. If it's against any rule in the Torah,
There was no Sanhedrin at this time.
Moshe Rabbeinu was the top of the chain. Yeah, he had based about the din underneath. Yisro helped him set up a court system underneath him. There were dayanim. There were poskim for the Klal Yisrael at the time. Moshe Rabbeinu being the top, and all the systems beneath him that Yisro helped him set up. Okay, maybe we don't have time to get into everything, but at least to talk about a few issues that come up. If you look in source number 9, so the Ravid says a fascinating thing. He says this at least twice in the Sefer. The Ravid wrote a commentary on the Mishnah Torah, on the Yad HaChazaka of the Rambam, the Halacha Sefer of the Rambam. Torah is Nitzchi, so even if you gave me more time, we would just keep going. It's not it's endless. Okay, so someone will tell me when they smell the food, I'll stop. So the Ravid in source number 9, the Ravid says in multiple places, we only put one of them, the Ravid says he's arguing on the Rambam on something, and he says like this, Omer Avram, in the bold in number 9, Kvar hofia ruach hakodesh bebeis midrashenu mikam ashanim, ve'helinu shu pasol kistam mishnasenu. Says the Ravid, ruach hakodesh already hangs out by me, in my beis medrash, and I paskin this way, the Rambam's wrong. Anyone have a problem with that? Other than the attitude? Anyone have a problem with that? Sounds like a case of? Lo b'shamayimi. Ruach HaKodesh. It's man versus man over here. What was the mano imano? What, how do you say it? Mano imano. It's man versus man over here. It's a gavra gavra karamis. That's how the Gemara says mano imano. It's me versus you. My brain versus your brain. B'ficho v'lavavcha lo b'shamayim. So why is the Rebbe invoking Ruach HaKodesh came down and told me I'm right? What are you saying? You don't go by a baskel. We don't go by Ruach HaKodesh. We don't go by Nevuah. So this is maybe not a question in the beginning at all. Because if you read the Ravid carefully, and this is something my Rebbe, Rav Twersky, from Yeshiva. So Rav Twersky's father, his name was Rabbi Dr. Isidore Twersky, Yitzchak Asher Twersky. He was a Chassidish Rebbe with the full Chassidish garb. He was a Tolna Rebbe of Boston, real Chassidish shtak. He had a beard, everything. And he went with that beard and with the long coat and everything every single day to Harvard, and taught as a professor of Jewish studies in Harvard for his entire career. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham and a Chassidish Rebbe, and he never changed the Levush, and he still was able to be literally the builder of the next generation of Jewish history academics. Everyone in the current stage of academia is his student from Harvard. So he wrote his doctorate on, that's my Rebbe's father. So he wrote his doctorate, he's no longer alive. He wrote his doctorate on the Ravid. And in the it was published as a book later on. So in there, if you brave the vocabulary and you get far enough in, so he talks about this Ravid, and he says, if you look, the Ravid doesn't mean that he had Ruach HaKodesh HaNevuah, that he's right. He means, Kvar hofia Ruach HaKodesh bebeis midrashenu mikam ashanim. Meaning, I've been paskening Shilos for a while already. I've been around the block, says the Ravid. And it seems from my track record that I'm doing pretty well. I'm getting things right more often than wrong. So it seems like Ruach HaKodesh, it seems like Siyata Dishmaya, divine assistance, has been on my side, has been in my court for the past couple of years. So Rambam, when I say the halacha is such, it's best off to trust me. I probably got it right. Kvar Hovia Ruach HaKodesh, not on this Shaila, but Mikam Ashanim. For many years, I've already been experiencing the Siyata Dishmaya to Paskin Ashaila. Says the Ravid, I'm confident in my halachic opinion over here, and that's not really him invoking Nevuah to change or argue or add anything to the Torah whatsoever. I'm sorry? He says it twice. He says it twice. Why he chose... Yeah, I mean, he also could have... That's a good point. I mean, but he also could have said... Sometimes he says, Rambam, I'm going to hit you over the head. This is such a bad shot. He could have said that on 10 other things also. Sometimes he jumps up and he's emotional. Right, exactly. No, so... Excellent, excellent, exactly. So it's a proof for what we're saying. Meaning, in this case, he feels very strongly. He didn't only get Ruach HaKodesh here, he feels strongly, so he's using that line. But it doesn't mean he got Ruach HaKodesh here. Mikam Ashanim.
You have the answer, of course. You don't need to do that. You don't need to...
I don't think that's true. I do not think that's true. Tosos says you can... I don't think that's true. Tosos say you can trust a Baskol. Tosos say you can trust a Baskol.
But it's just saying, a Baskol doesn't contradict the...
That's correct. Is the Ravid's Ruach HaKodesh the same as a Baskel?
Not the same. There's nothing wrong with him invoking the Ruach HaKodesh because he holds this is the halacha. So Ruach HaKodesh is a big critique to that.
Maybe Tosafot would agree with that. I'm not sure Tosafot would agree with that. Maybe they would agree with that. I hear why they're similar, meaning there's less of an issue of a Baskel. But the Ravid didn't hear a Baskel. He's invoking Ruach HaKodesh. You could say differently. I'm
not going.
There are levels. There are levels of directness of word of God. Less bashamayim, but also less accurate, less reliable. The Achronim talk about what you're saying. They talk about the distinction between a Baskel, Nevuah, and Ruach HaKodesh. If you look in the Beis Lechem Yehuda in his commentary on the Rambam, so he discusses exactly your point. Is there a difference between Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh? Nevu and a Paschal, so he thinks there is a distinction. You're saying there isn't. Maybe not. Yeah. So, good. So that's the Ravid. There are other instances that are very interesting. The just a historical case, and we'll end with this. Or should we end now? Okay. So there is a... I can go all day. So the... Okay. I won't take up all 10 minutes, but we'll go a little bit further. So you guys all dive in a Sephardi shul every morning?
No.
So what do you do in the middle of Shemana Esrei? You chazar shatz? You dochen. You do berachas kohanim, correct? Okay. Ashkenazi shul you ever been to? A little bit shorter, right? Why? Because we don't say everything out loud, first of all. And second of all, because we don't dochen in the middle of chazar shatz. Who's correct? Should we dochen or should we not dochen every single day? You guys are absolutely correct. The Sephardim are absolutely correct. We know you're correct. We're aware of it. The Rama defends the Ashkenazi minhag. He notes two things. They're very weak defenses. But he notes two things. He says, first of all, when a person lives in chutz la'aretz, in diaspora, we're not as happy, we're not as jovial, we're not as besimcha, and you need to bless the Klal Yisrael as a kohen, besimcha, bi'ahava, with good feelings of good nature. In chutz la'aretz, we don't have those feelings, so it's hard for us to duchen. That's what the Rama suggests. Separately, the Rama says that in chutz la'aretz, we're also busy with our parnasa, going to work and working so hard. Hard to focus. Davening would be too long, he says. Wow. And therefore, we don't have duchening. It's not like wild. Now, neither defense is super compelling, correct? The Achronim felt that way as well. The Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, as well as the Vilna Gaon, the opposing Rav against the Baal HaTanya, both of them felt that really Ashkenazim should also be duchening every single day. And in fact, the Vilna Gaon, at one point in history, the Aruch HaShulchan records this in Aruch Chaim Siman Kuf Chav Ches. He says, the Aruch HaShulchan records, that the Vilna Gaon, at one point in history, decided to institute Berachas Kohanim in his shul, in Chutz La'aretz. And that day, he was sent to jail. Then his student, his disciple, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, tried to do the same thing, to follow his Rav, to start Berachas Kohanim in an Ashkenazi shul during the week. And that next day, half the town burnt down. So after this happened, apparently the Vilna Gaon and the Chaim Volozhiner said, we're not touching this anymore. We're not doing Berachas Kohanim anymore. This is crazy. So a generation later, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he said in public apparently, what does that mean? Lo b'shamayim hi. You know what the halach is. The Sfardim are correct. We're supposed to duchen every day, even in the diaspora, even in Chutz La'aretz. So a fire comes, so you go to jail. It's taka strange, but lo b'shamayim. We don't paskin halacha based on what happens, some divinely ordained miracle. That's not how we decide halacha. Is it right or is it wrong? And do it as such. So some of the posts can discuss this. It happens to be one simple. Anyone have a simple answer? What? Okay, good. This is the answer I was looking for. Maybe the Vilna Gaon agrees, lo b'shamayim. Maybe Rav Chaim Volozhiner agrees. I don't paskin like a baskol or a nevuah or anything like that. But Rav Chaim Volozhiner also didn't want the town to burn down again. So even if it wasn't the way the halacha was supposed to be, the sakana is chamir. We're very careful about sakana. And he realized that if it's going to keep happening a tragedy in my town, if I keep instituting it, I may be right, but I'm not risking people's lives for this halacha. So that is one possibility. There are other versions of the story, by the way. Yeah. There are other versions of the story where maybe they found out later that the maskilim were the ones burning down the town, so really it wasn't the Nashamayim. Interesting stories in history. But either way, they went like this as a sign. So Rav Meisher Sternbach has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph of Tshuvos Hanhagos where he discusses this issue and he brings up another story as well. He says the Chassam Sofer, this is famous, the Chassam Sofer held there's a sugya in Basa B'challah that you have to wait after you eat meat, how long? 6 hours until you have dairy, correct? So the Chassam Sofer understood why 6 hours? Because that's the time it takes to digest. That's one opinion. Not everyone agrees with that. That's one opinion that we've shown him. That's the amount of time it takes to digest. Apparently, digestion works at a different rate when you go to sleep. So overnight, you digest a little bit faster. So the Chassam Sofer held that if a person, this happens to yeshiva guys every Thursday night, if a person goes to sleep fleishiks, and they wake up even less than 6 hours later for shacharis, they wake up fleishiks, says the Chassam Sofer, they're not fleishiks. Because they slept overnight, they digested their food much faster, they could eat dairy. Apparently, the Chassam Sofer went to a mishmar one night, and he woke up in the morning 4 hours later, and he said, oh, I still taste the chillin', but it's digested. And he made himself a cup of coffee with milk. Whoa. Like his opinion. That was his opinion. He's entitled to his opinion. He's one of the greatest posig. He's the posig ador. Okay, so he had his coffee with milk. As he's about to drink the coffee with the milk in it, it all spills out. And apparently, the Chassam Sofer said, it's a simin min hashamayim, a sign from the heavens, that I shouldn't go like my opinion over here against everyone else. Because clearly Hashem doesn't want me to drink dairy coffee after I've slept for a few hours. So Rav Meisher Sternbach says, what's going on in all these cases? We're trusting the Shamayim, but according to the Rambam, and according to many of the Rishonim, one day in Tosfos may or may not hold differently, but according to the many of the Rishonim, you're not allowed to do that. You can't follow the signs of Shamayim, you got to follow the Halacha as you see it in this world. So Rav Meisher Sternbach says like this. He says, that's absolutely true. We can't decide a shaila based on what the Nabi says, based on what Ruach HaKodesh says, based on what a Baskel says, based maybe even on what Hashem says. But when a posik has two sides to a question, he's not sure which one to go like, and he's trying to decide how to paskin, if Hashem offers his opinion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entitled to an opinion. He can weigh on one side, he can balance it out. If it's too even, and the posik sees min HaShemayim that one side is right, then the posik is saying, based on my learning, with the help of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in tilting the scales, I can decide on the issue. There's different ways to say that answer, but that is what Rav Meisher Sternbach suggests. And we'll there's many, 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 many more cases to discuss, but we'll leave it at that. You guys can fight while I'm gone. One thing we'll leave with is the following: Rav Shechter Shlita, my Rebbe, source number 12. You have at the end of your sheet. This is a sefer that's been published twice, but it's not fully published yet. So the version you have here is from an unpublished edition. It's still in manuscript, but I have a document of it, so I typed it out for you, or copy and pasted it for you. So in the Divrei Sofer, Rav Shechter discusses the following interesting Ramban. The Psukim put together the Mizbeach, the placement of the Mizbeach at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, with the case of the assignment of the Batei Din, of the Dayanim in Parshas Yisro. So, Mizbeach in Yisro and based in Mishpatim, sorry. So why are those two put together? So Rashi already tells us. The Ramban expounds on it like this. We need the Batei Din. We need the Beis Din to be in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Lishkas HaGazas, right near the Mizbeach. Why? Because the Batei Din needs Siyat Dishmaya. To Paskin Ashayla, a person needs Siyat Dishmaya. Everything we said until now doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out of the picture, Chas V'Shalom. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a set of rules of Lo B'Shamayimi, which determine when we're stuck and we don't know who to trust, he tells us who to trust and when. But don't for a second think that a Rav can paskin any shayla over the course of entire life without help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without Sod Hashem Li Areyav, without having Hashem Imo, as the Psukim say about David HaMelech. You need a Kadosh Baruch Hu with you. And if you know someone who's very smart, but doesn't seem to have that Siyat Deshmaya, doesn't seem to have that the Midos that are demanded to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu Imo with him at all times, if you meet someone who doesn't have that necessary Sod Hashem Li Yireyav, a Yiras Shemayim, he's not the right posig either. Yiras Shemayim, and by force, because of the Yiras Shemayim, Siyata Dishmaya is a necessary ingredient in the recipe of deciding halacha, of learning Torah. How much we lean on Shemayim, how much we go by Nevu and Ruach HaKodesh, that's the sugya we're talking about. But Siyata Dishmaya always has the backs of the real poskim. And because of that, when you have a charlatan, when you have someone who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't have Yiras Shemayim, and he paskins one way, you can rest assured with our tefillos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure the truth will come out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect the system. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect the nitzchias and the amitas HaTorah. So b'siyat d'shmaya, we should all be zocha to yiras shemayim. We should all be zocha to siyat d'shmaya. And through both of those, we should be zocha to amitas shel Torah. Thank you very much for having me.